How do you like your coffee? Freshly roasted? You can just smell it, can't you? Well, how would you like it brought to you? If you're passionate about your coffee, then a passion for the bean is for you. At a passion for the bean, they custom roast coffee beans from around the world when you place your order, so your coffee is guaranteed to be fresh, rich, full-bodied, and full of flavor. That's not the taste that you get from coffee beans that have been sitting on a supermarket or coffee house shelf for weeks. Now, to have the ultimate coffee experience delivered to your home or office, call A Passion for the Bean at 480-703-2326. That's 480-703-BEAN. A Passion for the Bean has joined forces with the American Stroke Association in the fight to end stroke. Now, you can help by purchasing an ASA signature blend, and 30% of the proceeds will go directly to the ASA. Help us put an end to stroke. The life you save may be your own. And call A Passion for the Bean today, 480-703-2326.
From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and this is a show where we deal with mental health issues every week from a holistic perspective, which means finding balance in body, mind, and spirit, getting back to a sense of peacefulness within ourselves and helping us work through all the things that keep us distracted and confused and in pain and angry and sad, and I could go on, and all of you can relate to it. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free, but the question we ask here is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? So, with all that being said, I would use words like distraction and confusion and other things like that. Tonight, I'm going to be doing a show about ADD, attention deficit disorder, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. And I realized when I was having an ADD moment, as I call it myself, I was actually had something very important I needed to get through to my engineer today, and I know he had given me his personal cell phone number for situations like this. And I could not find where I put that number. I could picture the piece of paper it was written on. I could picture the way I wrote it on there. I remember myself putting it somewhere where I told myself, well, this will be a likely place for me to look when I need to find it. Now, for those of you who don't know, I'm a 56-year-old man who at age 45 was diagnosed with ADD. And when that happened, it made total sense of my whole life. So when I'm talking about looking for this phone number and saying to myself, I did it again. Why can't I remember where I put this? Now, a lot of you listening are going to say, yeah, I do that all the time. And a lot of you say, well, everybody does that all the time. That doesn't mean we have ADD. Well, we're going to be talking about that. And if you have questions or if you have comments, if you are agreeing with what I'm saying or disagreeing with what I'm saying or want to talk a little bit about some of the things that are resonating for you as we go through the show this evening, the phone number in Phoenix is 480-949-1310. That's 480 area code 949-1310, just like KXAM 1310. Now, if you're listening via the internet from outside the Phoenix area, it's the same number, 480-949-1310. Now, there is so much we are reading in the papers today, so much that has been hysterically talked about And I don't mean funny hysterical, I mean angry hysterical and people being up in arms about all this talk about ADD in children and adults and Ritalin and medications and all this sort of stuff. I'm not going to be talking about all of that today, but to lay that foundation again a little bit more, as I said, 16 years ago, I was diagnosed myself with ADD. And when we go through the symptoms of ADD, I'm going to be relating to a lot of them very personally. But I'd like to start by reading a paragraph written by Michelle Bloomquist in an article she wrote, Paying Attention to Adult ADD. And this is what she writes. Attention deficit disorder affects an estimated 6-8% of the general population, according to the National Attention Deficit Disorder Association. And as many as half of them are never diagnosed. ADD may continue over a lifetime. The ADDA says about half of children with the disorder will develop strategies to compensate, while others will continue to struggle into adulthood. People pay a high price for doing so, says Craig Leiden, MD, who has worked with more than 8,000 children and adults with ADD. Most of these people make living on the edge a way of life, and they pay for it physically and emotionally. So we're talking about 6-8%, and that's about the statistics I hear, whether it's the American Medical Association or CDC and a lot of others, about 6-8%. So then everybody's going to say, well, if it's only 6-8%, why are half the kids in elementary schools today on Ritalin or being told to go on Ritalin? Well, the truth is it's not half the kids, and the reality of it is, from my opinion, is there are many kids who are being put on medications, whether it's antidepressants or Ritalin or other types of medications for ADD or ADHD, without really having an accurate diagnosis, and many of them are being misdiagnosed and shouldn't be on the medications. I'm the first one to say that, so if that's what you're going to be calling in, call in and let's talk about it anyway, but I agree with that. There are a lot of people that are jumping the gun and assuming because a kid is a behavior problem, it must be ADD, so let's medicate and everything will be fine. I don't believe in that. I believe that there are characteristics that come together, and when all these characteristics come together and they're happening over a long-term period and there are no other causes for those characteristics, then we get down to looking at the possibility that this child or adult has attention deficit disorder or attention deficit hyperactive disorder. So again, I'm a firm believer that kids are overdiagnosed, that there is a wave of adults being diagnosed in the last 10 years, especially, you know, around the time that I was diagnosed, partially because I think most people, professionals as well as lay people, have always thought in terms of ADD as a children's thing, and that if a child has it, they'll outgrow it as they become adults, or it's a children's thing and not something to look at in adults. Well, the reality of it was when I really got with a therapist 11 years ago who I was working with, who was helping me take a look at what I felt were the missing pieces of the puzzle for me in terms of all the personal growth work and all the therapy I'd had all my life. I always knew there was some piece missing, that the therapists I went to, the workshops I attended, that was being missed. And because it was right in front of my own eyes, and to be honest with you, in graduate school, back in the early 70s, I don't remember learning much about ADD. And so even if I was being taught about it, either I spaced out during that part, or it just wasn't something that was emphasized for me to take a look at in terms of my own issues and the things that I was dealing with in my own life. So to me, there are a lot more adults being diagnosed with it, partly because we're just more conscious of what ADD is, more therapists are aware of it, and more adults are hearing more about it in the newspapers and in articles and on television and news events and all that stuff, where they're beginning to see, hey, that sounds a bit more like me. Maybe I ought to take a look at this. Or they have children that are being diagnosed. And one thing we do know for sure is that there is a genetic inherited aspect to ADD. So if you are listening to this and you have a child or two that has been diagnosed with ADD or you think has ADD, it may be very possible that you or your spouse or maybe even parents or your own siblings of your own generation may be undiagnosed. And as we're talking about the symptoms and the behaviors that are attached to this, you may start seeing yourself or some other people in your life that come under this heading of attention deficit disorder. Now remember, if you have any questions, the number is 480-949-1310. So what is ADD? Attention deficit disorder is believed to be caused by a chemical imbalance in the brain, particularly the prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex of the brain is the part of the brain, like kind of behind your forehead, that deals with organization, concentration, and focus. So, as you can see, if the electrodes are not blasting off in that part of the brain the way they should, if there's an imbalance somewhere in that, then your ability to focus and organize and concentrate is going to be disrupted. So, as I said, this is often considered a hereditary condition and may run in families. It's often a relief to find out, and I know it was for me, that you know, a lot of people, when they're growing up, they're told they're lazy, they're stupid, they're out of control, they're weak-willed, they're bad, they're unworthy. These are all the things that the kids are getting messages about themselves in undiagnosed ADD. And I know I was told a lot of that. And a lot of adults that I work with and help diagnose with ADD will say the same thing. The level of self-esteem in most adults and children and teenagers with ADD is often very bad because of the constant sense of failure, the constant sense of trying to just keep up with everyone else, the things that they've been called because they weren't getting things done on time in school or they weren't able to focus and get good grades. So it's very important to realize that a diagnosis is not to be used as an excuse for the continuation of these behaviors. And this is a very important thing as we're talking about diagnosing or taking a look at the conditions that come together to create ADD. To me, a diagnosis of ADD is an explanation for the feelings and behaviors that come with the possibility of treating, and it comes with the possibility for treating the overall problem. So in other words, do I have clients and do I know people that are using their ADD as an excuse not to achieve? Yes, I do know plenty of people like that. And you may know people like that too. But to me, understanding what ADD is about and diagnosing it, as you go into treatment, having that understanding and that education means that you now have a responsibility for making the changes and doing the work that needs to be done so that you are no longer at the effect of that brain chemistry in the same way you had been when you were totally unaware that you had this. So it now comes with, yes, I now have an explanation, not an excuse. I understand now that there's a reason why I'm procrastinating all the time. There's a reason why I'm frustrated all the time because I'm not achieving quite to the level that I know that I can be. And so now that I understand that, I have an explanation, and now I go look for solutions. So we're going to start, before we talk about the solutions, we're going to go through what some of the conditions are that come together that create attention deficit disorder. When you're talking about a disorder, you're talking about a group of symptoms that come together to create this disorder. It's not a single thing. So one of the best books on ADD is one of the older ones written about 15 years ago by two psychiatrists named Edward Hallowell and John Rady. They're both MDs. And the original book, Driven to Distraction, is one that I still recommend to clients as soon as we're looking in, at this as a possibility. One of the first things to do is to educate yourself about exactly what ADD is and how you fit into that picture, if you fit into that picture. Let's not jump to conclusions. Let's talk about it. Let's get you educated. Now, one sign that someone may have ADD is when I say, go pick up this book. Here's the title. This is where you can get it. You can even order it on the internet or go to any bookstore will carry it. And they keep putting it off. And then even if I hand them a copy of it, which I usually try and keep some here because, again, if somebody that I know somebody may have ADD, I'm looking to make the process a little easier, and I don't see it as enabling, but I try and have some copies here to actually give it to them and say, here. Now, most people with ADD are going to look at a book and just say, I'm not going to read this. So I usually narrow it down, and I usually say to them, read Chapter 1, read Chapter 7, and read Chapter 8. At least get started with that. It makes it more manageable, and that's the basic information in Driven to Distraction. Chapter 1 is an overview of what ADD is. Chapter 7 is how do you diagnose it, and Chapter 8 is how do you treat it. And then most of them usually go back because they're so stimulated at that point they want to see more about what it is. So what is ADD? What are some of the symptoms that go on? Well, Hallowell and Rady have a newer book out called Delivered from Distraction, Getting the Most Out of Life with Attention Deficit Disorder. And this book came out only a couple of years ago, so it's much more current, much more updated. Either book is fine, Delivered from Distraction or Driven to Distraction. Both of them will do it. And the truth is you can go into any bookstore and go to the section where they have materials on ADD, and you're going to find probably 50 different books. I like these books because I like the way they write. They write clearly for any layperson to understand what's going on, and the books are structured in a way that makes it easy. So there was actually an article in the LA Times called Hyperactivity Grown Up, and the subtitle is ADHD is most often thought of as a childhood disorder, but many adults must learn to cope with its distractions. And they talk about, basically, a lot of the material that's in the diagnostic tools that most therapists write. And I'm going to read some of them. And again, we're not going to cover all of them today because I'm hoping that some of you may get stimulated enough to either get in touch with me via my website, tellthetruthfaster.com, or pick up one of the books, or talk to your own therapist if you're seeing a therapist. So, in diagnosing attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, now remember, the difference between ADD and ADHD is that ADHD means that there is this hyperactive component. We've all seen kids bouncing off the walls in school. We've all known adults that are just talking a mile a minute, not even taking a breath, or are constantly in motion physically. And usually, even being around them is exhausting for us. If you're on the outside of that looking in, it could be a very draining experience to be around them very often. On the other hand, that energy, if it's channeled correctly, and we're going to talk before the end of the show about the positive aspects of having ADD, because there are gifts in this. So channeling that energy can actually be an incredible thing if you learn how to do it. So some of the symptoms were present before the age of 7. That is one of the most important things, because ADD is not something that comes on in adulthood or in adolescence. The only time the combination of symptoms might come on is if you've been in an accident, you've had a head injury, the prefrontal cortex has been affected, and so something happened in adolescence or adulthood that brought on these symptoms because of a head injury or brain injury. So for the usual sense of attention deficit disorder, or ADHD also, that some of the symptoms were present before the age of 7. Some impairment from the symptoms is present in two or more settings, such as home and work, or it could be health, or it could be school, but that the disorder is having an impact on more than one area of your life. So, you know, I could talk about myself, and I remember back in elementary school, I do not have the hyperactive component to this. So very often, those kids that don't have the hyperactive component to this are usually overlooked, because we're just maybe daydreaming or can't stay focused in school, but it's not that noticeable to the teacher or to our parents. Now, it may mean that we're having struggle getting good grades. It may mean that we're having to reread things over and over again. For me, I was a daydreamer, and my mind would float away very often. You know, that's part of having ADD, is that you're easily distracted and, you know, easily off in the ozone, so to speak. So, but I also knew I was one of those kids that somehow could accommodate it, in the sense of it wasn't okay for me not to get good grades. I mean, that was the one thing I had going for me. Not that I was a straight-A student, but failing a class or a grade was just not okay in my family, and it was not going to be okay for me. So I managed to get good grades. And if you think about it, I mean, I achieved a master's degree with my ADD, and there are a lot of people out there who are achievers who have either accommodated these symptoms, learned ways or tools on their own without ever being diagnosed as to how to get through life and how to get through school, how to deal with work, in spite of the procrastination, the distraction, and all these other things that go on. You know, so some of us are actually pretty good achievers in spite of it, and sometimes because of it, which I'll talk about in a little bit. So it's also important that the symptoms, as I said earlier, are not better accounted for by another mental disorder, such as mood or anxiety disorders or dyslexia or things like that. Now, in addition to that, that somebody would exhibit 6 or more of the following symptoms of inattention for at least 6 months from childhood on, which means often fails to give close attention to details or makes careless mistakes, often has difficulty sustaining attention, often does not seem to listen when spoken to directly, often does not follow through on instructions and fails to finish schoolwork, chores, or work duties, often has difficulty organizing tasks and activities, often avoids tasks that require sustained mental effort, often loses important things, like I lost the phone number today, even though, again, I knew where it was, and I actually found it just before I went on the air. So often loses important things, often is easily distracted, and often is forgetful. Now, every one of those things is a symptom that everyone listening out there can relate to. People lose things all the time. People get distracted all the time. People procrastinate all the time. So all of us can relate to it, and that's why it's important that you really educate yourself about this and not jump to conclusions. Just because you're procrastinating, it doesn't mean you have ADD. Just because you have a sense of disorganization in your life doesn't mean you have ADD. But when you put six or more of those things that I just read together, then you have the foundation and basis for considering the diagnosis of ADD. So all of us are forgetful at times. All of us are procrastinators at times. But people with ADD tend to chronically procrastinate. We're talking about a chronic sense of underachievement and low self-esteem. We're talking about trying to, even in dealing with life, it's not unusual for people with ADD to find their own way of self-medicating. Now, as children, that may be channeling that hyper energy into sports and athletics. That's a healthy way of self-medicating and dealing with it. But sometimes the form of self-medicating, like for me, was food when I was a kid. I was an overweight kid. For some people, the form of self-medicating as soon as they can might be alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex, all these things that allow for a stimulation of adrenaline, because that's when we feel focused and centered, is when the adrenaline is actually pumping in our system. So it's also understandable that people who, as we said before, live on the edge, people who like high stimulating activities like bungee jumping or skydiving, if you look at doctors who have ADD, again, look at them. They are people who have achieved quite a bit in spite of it, but they tend to be physicians that love working in ERs, because there's this constant high energy and that high stimulation and high sense of immediate need to focus, and then you move on to something else. So, like I said, there are a lot of people who have achieved academically and professionally. Now, the other thing that I know is people who have achieved greatly in life, and there's a whole list of people throughout history that when you look at their behaviors and the things that have been written about them, or even today, that it's easy to assume that they might have had or do have ADD, but they were the type of people who knew how to excite other people with their ideas and then gather people around them who became, in a sense, their assistants or staffs, who could take the idea that the person with ADD has and help them make manifest. You know, and it's like my older brother has ADD, and he won't get it treated, and he didn't know about it until I got my diagnosis. But he's always had someone in his life, whether it was his ex-wife or his current wife, that helped him focus and helped him take his ideas and move them forward to the point where he was able to, he actually has a staff around him now. So a lot of the things he's achieved, and he's an inspirational guy and does very unusual things with his life. He's a stand-up comic. He's a real estate investor, but most of his life is spent around Western arts things like horseback riding and rodeo and trick roping and bullwhip, the art of bullwhip and six guns and all these things that most people think very unusual. But for him, with his constant sense of stimulation, and he made a business out of it and has a staff. And that's the kind of support someone with ADD who really can achieve needs, that kind of support. So if you're in a relationship with someone with ADD and you're constantly frustrated and angry with them, step back a little bit. Step back a little bit and see, well, does my partner have ADD? If they do, well, this helps me understand why I'm always so angry and frustrated with them. But in spite of my anger and frustration, are the things that they say and the ideas they come up with, are some of them really kind of good, but I just get frustrated because I know they're never going to follow through on them. So if you step back a little bit and you look at the person that you love and you need some help in getting past your own anger and frustration, and probably this has gone on for years for you, you need help with a therapist to get past that, and maybe the couple needs help, not maybe, but most of the time the couple needs help. But then you might find a way of helping be that support system for some of those thoughts and ideas that are very common to come out of the mind of someone with ADD, and I'll explain to you why. People with ADD tend to think outside the box. That's why if you look at a lot of people with ADD or ADHD, we can see solutions very often without really understanding how we got to that solution. It's almost as if, here's the problem, someone else is going to think, well, let's really pull that apart and figure out what are the steps we need to take and what are the goals. Some with ADD, it's not unusual for us to actually see the problem and intuitively just see the solution. It doesn't mean we're going to be good at creating the solution, but we're good at seeing the solution. It's because, from my own perspective, I mean, I can't talk about this scientifically or medically at this point, but my belief is that because of our struggle with learning, most of us have not learned through linear thinking. Giving us a textbook is just frustrating. We usually will know how to use that textbook. By the time we reach a certain grade, if we're achieving at all, we know how to get that textbook and get to the parts of it that we need to pass that course without having to read the whole textbook cover to cover the way most other people will do. But it's the same thing with how we learn. Most people with ADD tend to be very creative people, very intuitive people. And a lot of this happens because we're seeing the world around us differently than most other people do. We're, like I said, thinking outside the box. So a lot of us are learning academically as well as life skills through observation and through experience. So we're seeing how people do things, and we're, again, coming up with thoughts and ideas that, I can't put it any other way, that are outside the box, which means it's not unusual for us to come up with inventions that people are amazed at, or new products, or ways of teaching, or ways of being. You know, I could go on and on about that, but it's one of the gifts of ADD is being intuitive and creative and rather intelligent. So if you know a kid or an adult who has ADD, who is struggling in school, it has nothing to do with intelligence most of the time. It has to do with how we are able to learn and take tests and study. And again, it is one of the parts of treatment of how to restructure one's behavior to function better in school, in an academic setting, but also in a workplace. Now, again, people with ADD tend to have a more difficult time working as an employee and having someone else above them, especially when it's a very rigid type of organization or corporation or company. So you'll find a lot of people like my older brother and myself and a lot of other people that I know who have ADD very often tend to be self-employed or need to be self-employed, because then we can structure things at our own pace and do what we love to do in ways that work for us instead of having to deal with someone else's policies and procedures and deadlines and everything else. So it's like I said, it's not unusual to find a lot of people who are really achieving tend to be self-employed or have a pool of people around them that work as a support system. So treatment. There are a lot of treatments for ADD. And in Halliwell and Rady, this is what they outline in terms of treatment. Now, I want you to hear what is the last thing on the list, because I know most of you are assuming certain things about what I'm going to say about treatment. So what Halliwell and Rady write in Delivered from Distraction is, the first step to treatment is diagnosis, which should include identification of talents and strengths. The second step is implementation of a five-step plan that promotes those talents and strengths. The third thing is education, and that's what I'm saying about, you know, the education, that third step could be taken and should be taken actually very early on. But it's also about education, about how to change behaviors. Because the fourth thing is a change in lifestyle. The fifth has to do with structure. So structure refers to any habit or external device, like a list or a filing cabinet, that you create or set up outside the brain to make up for what's missing inside of it. Number six, counseling of some kind, such as coaching, psychotherapy, career counseling, couples therapy, family therapy. Again, when there's ADD in an individual, it means that there's ADD in a family. Now, I'm talking about that on two levels. I'm talking about it on the fact that it's likely genetically to be in more than just one person in the family. But if there's ADD in a relationship or in a larger extended family, it means everybody is being impacted by the individual whose behaviors are evident to attention deficit disorder. So family therapy, couples therapy is very important. Psychotherapy, which is something that I really needed and have always gone throughout my life, but really needed, once I came in into the belief that I had ADD and have ADD, there was a whole well of emotions that had been repressed most of my life. I felt angry that nobody figured this out when I was a kid or a teenager to make the rest of my life a little easier and more understanding. I was sad at the loss of 45 years of my life because of the struggles that I had to go through. I had to deal with relationship issues that were being impacted throughout my life because of my ADD. So the psychotherapy is actually, to me, a necessary part of treatment in order to deal with the psychodynamic, the emotional, and the psychological things that have been impacted because of the ADD. And as I've done on this show many times, I've done shows on coaching. Coaching is also a very good way to actually help change some of the behaviors and learn some new tools and techniques that can help one's life feel more in order. Now, there are many coaches that are actually trained specifically to work with people with ADD. So if you have ADD and you're going the coaching route, it is really important that you're working with a coach that has had some specific training to work with people with ADD. Now, number seven on their list of treatments is various other therapies that can augment the effectiveness of medication or replace the use of medication altogether, such as exercise program that stimulates the cerebellum, targeted tutoring, general physical exercise, nutritional interventions, and occupational therapy. And number eight, as I said, many of you would be surprised, is number eight on their list is medication. Now, to me, in all honesty, I mean, people who know me, I'm very metaphysical and very holistic in the way I do things in my life and what I teach. But at age 45, the first thing I actually went to was Ritalin. And there have been people that have been very angry and upset with me for saying this, because I had such a positive effect from the medication. From a very small dose, you don't take a lot, and after a number of years, I actually cut back on it, and I only take it on certain days, even today, when I still need it, instead of taking it throughout the day, every day, the way I did the first year or so, as what the medication did for me and what it does for a lot of people is it allows us to access that part of our brain to start dealing with the behavioral issues as well as the emotional issues that we need to work on in order to improve our existence and our lifestyle and our relationships. So, you know, with all the rebirthing I've done, with all the body work I've done, with all the nutritional stuff I've done over the years, I've done all that and I've dealt with all the inner stuff, at least up to that point, and the medication was a real godsend to me. It doesn't mean it's what I really espouse for everyone, but as a therapist, the work that needs to be done, I have found, can be done more effectively and faster if someone is at least willing for a short-term basis to start the medication. I totally support the looking at diet because diet also impacts our brain chemistry. Diet also impacts our ability to focus and deal with life in a lot of ways. Exercise is a stimulation of the endorphins and everything else that also help with focus. Breath work, meditation, prayer, assessing who you have in your life in terms of very often people with ADD have not made great choices of the people that they surround themselves with. And especially if you're now including the self-medication route of alcohol and drug abuse and sex addiction and all these other things, it does mean taking an honest look at who's in your life and what needs to be changed about that. Now, in terms of structure and other things, we talked about that internal filing cabinet. Well, the one thing I can tell you is I actually have a very good internal filing cabinet. It doesn't mean I can always access the right drawer when I'm looking for it, like I had trying to find Wade's phone number earlier today. But it's very rare that I don't have a piece of information that I have read or learned. I just had problem accessing it in a timely fashion very often. So there are ways to reprogram the mind and our way of thinking. Most people with ADD, even without knowing they have ADD, will probably tell you that they've used lists all their lives. And if you haven't, I recommend it. Because keeping a to-do list and checking things off as you've achieved them, that feels really great. But having the to-do list gives you a chance of reassessing every day what are the priorities today, what are the priorities this week, what do I need to do to take care of these things. And the other thing I say to people with ADD is you do not have to be perfect. Let yourself off the hook. Learn to delegate. Learn to ask for help. Because, again, remember the self-esteem issue of years and years of feeling so out of control and so incapable and so unworthy and all this other stuff that we had been told that we're lazy and stupid and everything else. You're not lazy. You're not stupid. There are reasons for the struggling. And once you get to know and understand what ADD is in your life, then you know what kind of people you need in your life to help support you, and you will be able to heal the things that you have going on that make it difficult for you to ask for help. Because if you ask for help in the past, it means somebody's going to know that you're not getting something done on time. If you ask for help in the past, it means that someone's going to know that you can't do it, or at least you think you can't do it. If you're the type of person that people are used to, when they know that you have a deadline, they know that they're going to be hearing from you the day of that deadline because you haven't gotten it done yet, and that's when you finally scream and ask for help, unless you're going to ask for an extension in the deadline. So learning how to delegate, learning how to be reasonable with yourself in terms of what's doable and what's not doable, learning to say no instead of trying to be the nice guy or girl all the time and taking on more than you can really handle, that was a big one for me to learn. So it is so important, again, to reprogram the behavioral stuff, to learn life skills. To be honest with you, probably were not taught to you when you were growing up. Again, if you were raised in a household where other people had ADD, none of them had those skills. So why would you expect you to have learned it? So be the one in your family to finally step out and say, I need to find the teachers that can help me organize. And if you can, like I said, delegate. There are just certain things I don't like doing, which means I'm going to keep putting them off, but they need to be done. They're part of the whole. So I know that there are certain things that I have other people in my life to do now, some of which I pay for. Some of it are just friends who are helping me or family that are helping me. And, you know, it's what goes around comes around. You know, people do nice things for you, think nice things are going to happen for them. So be realistic. What's doable, what's not doable? What tools and skills do you already have and what don't? And what do you need to learn? And don't be shy about saying, I don't know how to do these things. And find the teachers, whether it's a therapist or a coach or taking a short class, you know, like an hour workshop or a two-hour workshop or a one-day workshop. Those are the things that we tend to do better with than signing up for a course that's a whole semester. Okay, where you go in and you get infused with maybe some really good information and some good motivation and you put it to use, and maybe you need to do a refresher again afterwards. Just because you took it once doesn't mean you got it all. And that's true for anybody. Okay? So the treatment can also include complementary and alternative treatments. You know, I talked before, the reason I took to breath work or rebirthing so well is because with that much oxygen in my system, I found myself in a place of focus and calmness, and my mind actually settled down and got quiet, and I had never experienced that before. So breath work of any form can be very helpful. Biofeedback training can be an extraordinary help in dealing with learning how to actually program your brain and your brain chemistry to deal with anxiety, to learn how to focus better. Biofeedback training can be a very helpful type of treatment. And as I said before, nutritional therapies. Now, there are holistic or herbal treatments that people talk about all the time to take instead of medications for ADD. I've tried them. They didn't work for me very well, if at all, but I know that they have worked for others, things like St. John's Wort and some others. They are all worth looking into and investigating. So alternative and complementary therapies I highly recommend. And again, we live in a society, and I'm talking about medication now. We live in a society and a culture, in this country in particular, where we've been taught to take a pill to fix anything. Whether it's taking a pill because the addict knows that they're going to be, you know, high for a while and not have to deal with reality, whether it's alcohol, whether it's cocaine. And in fact, if you take a look at a lot of people who are addicts who are undiagnosed ADD, they tend to be addicted to the stimulants, cocaine, crystal, crack, amphetamines, things like that, because the first time that they did it, they actually were treating their undiagnosed ADD and they felt great. You know, I ask this a lot of the clients that I work with who are addicts, and I said, the first time you took crystal, or the first time you did coke or speed or anything, how did you experience it and how did that relate to the people who were doing it around you? And to the every one of them would say to me, well, when I took it the first time, I actually calmed down and I actually found myself focusing better and getting some things done while everyone else was just like laughing and bouncing off the walls, and I didn't understand why they were going through that and I was going through this. And now they understand, because what was happening is the medication for ADD is a low-dose stimulant, whether it's Dexedrine or Adderall or Ritalin or Sylert. There's a number of them out there, but basically they all do roughly the same thing, and they stimulate the brain, particularly the prefrontal cortex. And so all the tension and anxiety of this hyperactivity, or the anxiety that comes with being so unfocused and everything, all of a sudden you're focused. And I remember within 20 minutes of taking 5 milligrams of Ritalin, which is a very low dose, I remember this wave of peace washing over me, the sense of being in the world for the first time in my life. I often talk about it in two different ways. There's a character in the Peanuts strip called Pigpen, who's always walking around with that dust cloud around his or her head. I'm not sure, very androgynous character. And I always felt, I always related to that character, because my whole life I always felt like I had this dust cloud around my head. And it was, after 20 minutes with the Ritalin in my system, it's like this warm breeze came and blew that dust cloud from out around my head. And I felt a clarity, and I felt a focus, and I felt grounded in the world and in my body and in my life in a way I had never remembered being before, ever. Now, that's extreme. Not everybody has that extreme a reaction, but that's what it did for me. And most people I talk to will relate to that on some level when they start the medication. Now, you can imagine then why I say sometimes starting with the medication can help you achieve all the other stuff, because from that place, over the next few months, I cleaned up filing cabinets, I cleaned up the piles of papers and all the clutter that had been on my dining room table, which I could never eat at because I had all these piles of things. And that's very common for people with ADD. We tend to be collectors, and we don't throw things out, and things get to be cluttered. And usually we know where things are in those piles, but it's not a healthy or comfortable way to live. So within those first couple of months, I purged filing cabinets. Most of that stuff ended up in the garbage anyway. I don't know why I was keeping it, but I kept it. And that was one of the things that the medications allowed me to do. It allowed me to clean up the clutter around me so that I could work more effectively on the clutter inside. So, again, the complementary and alternative treatments will help with that. The counseling, the therapy, the coach will all help with that. And those are all important aspects of working with ADD. So I've talked about what ADD is. I've talked about how you diagnose it. I've talked about the approach to treatment. And this is just, you know, a thumbnail sketch. If you think that anything I've said today sounds relevant to you or anyone in your life, go on the internet. There's so much material to read. You can go to my website, as a matter of fact, Tell the Truth Faster, and in a week you'll be able to listen to this show. And I was surprised when I realized it, but it's been since 2003 since I've actually done a show on ADD. But I have three other shows that I've done on ADD that are already up in the archives that you can listen to and get a lot of the same information. So I really encourage you to, if you have questions that I didn't answer, if you have a therapist, ask your therapist. If you need to email me, you can go to tellthetruthfaster.com and go to contact and email me your questions or your comments about tonight's show or any other show that I've done. I'm always glad to get your emails and to find out who's out there listening and what's going on and how the show has impacted you. So that's what ADD is about, briefly. If you're an addict and it sounded like you're self-medicating, I would love to see someone do a study on people in 12-step programs who are constantly relapsing because they can't do the assignments their sponsor gives them. They're not reading the materials and stuff. My guess is, and I have no scientific backup for this, but my guess is probably a good majority of those people who keep relapsing because of the assignments and the reading materials and everything else probably are undiagnosed and untreated ADD. I would love for someone to do some research on that and show me whether I'm right or wrong. So the other thing that I really want to leave you with is, as I said before, having ADD can, knowing you have ADD can be really a tremendous relief in your life, but it's also about identifying the gifts that come with it. Remember I said we tend to be very creative, intuitive, and intelligent people. We also tend to think outside the box. We're great problem solvers in a lot of ways. So the big part of treating ADD is to learn how to identify the gifts that come with it for you and how to really channel them and focus them so that you really are succeeding in life to a higher and higher level all the time, because now you understand what's kept you from these gifts before and how to use them now. So I want to thank you for listening, and I want to let you know that next week I'll be rerunning maybe this show or another one, because I'll be at a birthday party celebrating Louise Hay's 80th birthday. So it's on next Friday night, and that's where I'll be. And the following Friday, there'll be information on it on my website. The Hay House has a radio station, and there'll be a whole day just talking about Louise, and I'll be one of the people interviewed on that. And I'm hoping in 2 weeks to actually have someone who's worked closely with Louise to come on the show and for us to talk about the impact she's had in the world and on people's lives. So be sure to listen for that. And enjoy your weekend. This is Stuart Altshuler on KXAM 1310 AM in Phoenix, Arizona, wishing you all a great weekend, a very focused weekend, and a very playful weekend. This is Stuart Altshuler, and Tell the Truth Faster. Thanks for listening.